Not all of the men with whom I went to the seminary did so like I did right after high school. Most of them had very interesting careers before they entered the seminary, working as a paramedic or a truck driver or an officer in the CIA. One of my classmates was a captain in the Marines, and another was in the United States Air Force. My friend in the Air Force could tell you many stories about his adventures in the air, brilliant maneuvers, courageous landings, and dangerous situations. I remember that he had a special code word that he would use in those tight situations, in those tense moments while flying at great speeds in the air. He would say over his headset, "Big picture, big picture." This was his code word to the other pilots that meant, "You're only seeing what's in front of you. There's a lot that you can't see behind you and below you and above you. Look at the big picture." Now, if you asked me this morning, "Father, why are we reading this wonderful gospel about the transfiguration during Lent? It seems out of place during this penitential season. We should be reading a story about the suffering of Jesus, not this gospel about his glory and splendor and triumph." I would respond, "Big picture. Jesus wants to give Peter, James, and John the big picture. On their way to Jerusalem, Jesus is talking about his suffering and death, and you can imagine that the disciples are not really excited to hear about this news. And in just a few weeks, Jesus will take Peter, James, and John not up a mountain, but into a garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. And there they will see Jesus arrested, and they will all run away in fear. Only St. John will have the courage to climb the mountain of Calvary with Jesus and witness his agony and cruel suffering and death on the cross. Jesus knows that in the midst of his pain, suffering, and death, it will be very easy for the apostles to give up and to lose sight of the big picture. And so, in his mercy, Jesus transfigures himself on Mount Tabor to strengthen the faith of the apostles. They see his face shine like the sun. They see his clothes become white as light. They see Moses and Elijah, and even the Father gets into the act when his voice is heard saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." In his mercy, Jesus reveals the glory of his divinity to the apostles so they won't forget it when he's hanging on the cross. Pope St. Leo the Great writes, "The great reason for the transfiguration of Jesus was to remove the scandal of the cross from the hearts of his disciples and to prevent his suffering and death from disturbing their faith." And so it's as if Jesus says to his apostles, "Remember this day of my divine glory and splendor and triumph on the day of my agony and crucifixion. Remember this experience in your darkest days when you're tempted to forget my words and abandon the work I'm giving you to do." The apostles' memory of the Lord's divine glory on Mount Tabor will be what they need to sustain them in the midst of their grief. Big picture. What a simple message for this second Sunday of Lent. In the midst of our sufferings and trials, in the midst of our fasting and Lenten penances and all the rigors of these 40 days, we need to remember the big picture. Sometimes I'm a lot like an Air Force pilot. I only can see what's directly in front of me. And I need to take a look at the big picture and see what's behind me and below me and, most importantly, what's above me. Dr. Spring, one of my college professors, always used to ask us, "Of what larger entity is this smaller thing a part?" of what larger entity is this smaller thing a part? It's a good question. Everything we were learning, everything we were reading, every problem we were solving, every debate we were having, was always a smaller part of a bigger reality. In other words, how do I put this situation into perspective? How does this one piece of the puzzle of my life fit into the whole beautiful picture of God's divine plan? And if we look at the puzzle pieces of our life in light of the big picture of God's divine plan, they start, at least they begin, right, to make a little bit of sense. And, you know, so we can ask ourselves about the little things. Well, how does my homework fit into this big picture? How does the fact that people are picking on me at school fit into the big picture? How does my massive headache fit into the big picture? How does my wrecked car fit into the big picture? How does spilling coffee on my new shirt fit into the big picture? How do my stresses at work fit into the big picture? How does that recent little fight with my spouse fit into the big picture? How does my recent diagnosis of cancer fit into the big picture? How does my grandmother's death fit into the big picture? Sometimes it's easy to see, and other times it's not so easy. I'm like the apostles. I'm tempted to forget the big picture during times that are difficult, in times of suffering and pain. But in the midst of pain, suffering, sickness, even death, Jesus wants us to remember the big picture. The glory that Jesus promises us in heaven, where there will be no more tears or death or mourning or weeping or pain. Suffering isn't the end of the story. Jesus wants to remind us that glory, triumph, transfiguration, new life are the end of the story. Pope Francis, writing about the sacrament of marriage in his recent apostolic exhortation, Amoris Laetitia, says this: promising love forever is possible when we perceive a plan bigger than our own ideas and understandings, a plan which sustains us and enables us to surrender our future entirely to the one we love. That's really beautiful. He encourages us to see a plan bigger than our own ideas and understandings, and that will enable us to surrender our future entirely to the one we love. The transfiguration of Jesus on Mount Tabor reminds us that God has a plan for us that is so much bigger than our own ideas and understandings. And so what can we do? Pope Francis says, surrender our future entirely to Jesus, the one whom we love, with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Because glory and transfiguration await us.